And now here is your moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
I just barely had time to put on my headphones. Anyway, yeah, welcome to Minds Over Matter. We hope you had a lovely weekend and can give us an hour of your time tonight, because Minds Over Matter is, was, and always will be, at least for the near future, an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we are welcoming your participation out there. Our lines are open right now. That means our phone lines. So please give us a call as soon as you can if you have a question for us. Or if you'd like to hold back for a minute or two, you can wait for one of our questions and give us a call with an answer. That number is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. I do want to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter, that's one word, mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. That's mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. If you'd like to hear our show online, you can do that anywhere in the world as we know it today, simply by going to kalw.org. That's kalw.org. And if you'd like a podcast of this show, the lovely Debbie Kennedy is here to do a wonderful job as usual. Although we had an email from somebody last week saying they didn't have they couldn't find the podcast. So,
it was there. I put it up though.
Of course it was.
I will double check while you're
all right.
On
thank
the
you
air.
Very much, Kevin. I think it might have been Kevin from Los Angeles who sent the email. I don't know, but anyway, she'll check on that. So. If you'd like to podcast today's show, it'll be there along with some of our older shows at kalw.org. So, with that being said, we'll be giving you questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio. And if I don't keep a sharp eye on them, they'll probably try to throw a sports question in. So, all right. Another Vic Rashi question, probably. So, anyway, we're going to start with around reductions. Jerry's looking at me because he worries that every week that I haven't read his introduction. So I'm gonna say it very slowly.
I didn't write these. You wrote them. You wrote this, I thought.
No, this is yours. Nobody's fooled by that, Jerry.
The writers, the team of
yeah,
writers.
Yeah, the writers do yeah. that. The writers. We They've just got this from the day. Writers' room.
Yes.
It's third person, so okay.
Jerry Nachman remains stuck in electronic hell. His third new CD player doesn't work. He still hears every day from an unknown drunk whose calls he's unable to block, and the new light bulbs in his dining room chandelier continue to flicker.
Excellent. Excellent.
Thank you.
Brilliant. Very good reading.
A plus. Okay, even though he is not nearly 80 years old, Laurie Fisher is struck by the fact that he has not been chosen for the American League All-Star team for the 80th consecutive year.
Like Derek Jeter.
As you can see, he appears on the show tonight in a clean uniform, polished spikes, and a brand new mitt, ready to come off the bench and pinch hit.
I am. And our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, must sometimes play the bad cop and crack the whip over his wayward fellow panelists, especially when it comes to sports, rock, and my excessive poetry questions.
All right. I don't think I've ever asked a rock or a poetry question.
And I've never asked an excessive poetry question. There is no such thing.
And we'll begin with Jerry Nachman.
Okay. Where is, according to NASA, where is the most Mars-like environment on Earth?
Mars-like environment.
My basement.
Yeah, the back of Jerry's refrigerator. Mars-like environment.
Is this going to be a generic thing, like in a cave, or is it a specific place on Earth?
It's a specific place, yeah.
Well, is this Mars at night or Mars during the day?
Mars at 3 in the afternoon. Right. I don't know.
Well, that Mars.
Mars, period.
Okay. So Mars is warmer. No, colder.
It's colder, I think.
No, it's warmer.
Well, you go with warm, I'll go with cold.
Right.
This place has the driest and most lifeless soil on our planet.
As you would infer. Let's
the
see.
The driest and the most lifeless.
How about driest and most lifeless?
If you get close, you
How about you. Someplace in South America? Chile?
Remarkable.
You got it?
The North Chilean Desert.
Yes.
Very nice.
That is the driest place on Earth that I have, I have read.
Very good,
That's
Dan.
Very good.
Excellent, my man.
All right.
Well, I better ask something else. Okay,
something a little harder.
A little harder.
Thermosports question.
Did I ask last week what is PBS's highest rated series? Did I answer that?
You did ask it.
I don't think I answered it in the cleanup.
And I think it was Antiques Roadshow.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, let's
Must I answer all your questions?
Yes. Okay, well, the U.S. just lost its place as the fattest country in the world.
Oh,
America. What country bumped us aside?
Good verb choice.
I know this, but I won't. I will.
You
I
do know
I will refuse to speak.
Thank you.
How about Russia?
No.
Some big people there.
I'll give you one more guess.
Okay.
All right. Why don't you repeat the question, Jerry?
The U.S. just lost its place as fattest country in the world. What country bumped us aside?
All right. Well, while you're thinking that over out there, a bit of business I forgot to say at the top of the show. So, once again, on August 18th, we are having the 20th anniversary of Minds Over Matter. So, what I'm asking of you out there is, if you're interested in coming to the station, maybe watching us do the show, maybe giving us a question to do, and just meet and greet some of the people who are done the show, such as myself and Jerry and Lori and Leah and, you know, the usual people, send me an email at mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. Again, that's mindsovermatter@yahoo.com, and let me know if you're interested in coming. We have to get a sort of a general idea how many people would like to attend this.
We may have to move it to AT&T Park.
Right. No, I don't think so. So this will be probably, you know, like 5 in the afternoon or something like that. You know, we'll have people here for a little while. We'll have cake so feel free to come. It's totally free. So again, this is it'll be August 18th. And so send me an email and let me know if you're interested in coming. That's mindsovermatter@yahoo.com, okay? All right.
Did you say it's our 20th anniversary?
It is our 20th anniversary.
So. Yeah, which anniversary is that? Titanium or plastic? Saran wrap, I
believe. We're doing paper someplace. And in the meantime, Lori, why don't you go ahead?
All right. I found what was considered by some advertising guys to be the 100 best taglines or advertising mottos of all time. They're all real familiar. I want to know what product these mottos or taglines gave you. They're all well known, and I kind of got them and didn't. The first is...
How many are you going to read?
5.
5, okay.
Yeah. A silly millimeter longer. That's number one. A silly millimeter longer. Number two, take it off. Take it all off. Number three is, because I'm worth it. Number four is, we answer to a higher authority. And the last one, which could never be written today, is, my wife, I think I'll keep her.
Oh, yeah.
So number one is, I'll give you one each if you get it, a silly millimeter longer. Number two is, take it off, take it all off. Number three is, because I'm worth it. Number four is, we answer to a higher authority. And number five is, my wife, I think I'll keep her.
Well... We answer to a higher authority. That's you know this one, Jerry?
Hebrew National.
Yeah, Hebrew National.
Very good.
Yeah.
Give yourself a bell on that one.
So that was the joint one. We get one more.
Yeah, okay. that was joint.
Take it off. Is that Noxema?
Take it off. Take it all off is Noxema from the 1960s. Okay. Dana, you want one more?
The silly millimeter longer. That's a cigarette.
It is.
Is it Virginia Slims?
It's not.
This was an older brand, as I recall.
And this was 1 millimeter longer than the other,
yeah,
Slims and like that.
Is it Winston?
It's not.
Okay. All right.
Okay, so we got a silly millimeter longer. We have because I'm worth it, and my wife, I think I'll keep her.
Debbie suggested Tarrington.
Not Tarrington. That was I'd rather fight than switch from the same era.
Oh.
Tarrington. Yeah.
Yeah, that was Tarrington, but I didn't give that one.
No.
Okay. So there's three out there for the crowd.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good afternoon, Sting.
Hello.
You were talking about John Williams last week. Here's a little question for you. John Williams replaced what actor in what situation of comedy series because the actor suffered a stroke?
John Wayne in a sitcom?
One time or multiple times?
Yeah, he was on one sitcom for only 7 episodes.
Wow, really?
In a sitcom?
Because the
what year?
Actor suffered a
mid-60s.
The other actor had a stroke, you say?
Yeah, he suffered a stroke during the production, the first season, and he was replaced for 7 episodes.
Wow.
And John Wayne played his part.
Yeah, no, John Wayne's played his brother.
Oh, his brother.
Oh, his brother.
Who came in and...
Oh.
So was it one like My Three Sons, one of those kind of affable...
Yeah, you're on the same track. It was produced by the same company.
Interesting.
Good. I've never heard about this.
Me neither. Was he bachelor father for 7 episodes?
No.
Suffered a stroke.
Yeah, who suffered a stroke?
Yeah.
It's a great question.
I don't know.
You don't know?
No.
I don't.
It was Family Affair. He replaced Sebastian Cabot in 7 episodes because Sebastian Cabot suffered a stroke.
Wow. John Wayne replaced Sebastian Cabot?
I thought said he played his brother, didn't you
well,
say?
Yeah, but
he played his brother, Giles French. His brother, Nigel French.
John Wayne?
Jim Williams.
Oh, John Williams. Oh, yeah. John Williams. Oh, I thought you said John Wayne.
He did say John Wayne.
I thought he said John Wayne, too.
Okay.
John Williams.
Yeah, a little...
John Wayne. All right.
Spoke.
Yes.
Yeah, you know that... By the way, do you notice when Sebastian Cabot returned to the show, you look carefully, you notice he has a cast on his left hand. That's when he fell. He broke his hand.
Mm. Okay. Okay.
Here's my other question. What was the last year Real Wood was used on what panel station wagons?
What was used?
Once more.
What was the last year Real Wood was used on what panel station wagon?
Real Wood was used on a station wagon.
Ooh, 62.
Station wagon. Oh.
No, before that.
Okay.
Ooh, boy. How about 57?
It's in the same decade, yeah, before that.
52.
Yes, give yourself a bell.
Wow.
What was the car?
The Ford was the last, the Mercury, the last manufacturers used wood paneling in their station wagons.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
So before the Beach Boys wrote about them, they were already out of business.
Yeah. And let's see.
It's you.
It's me. Yeah. Sorry. All right. Let's see here. Who was the only non-human to play the devil in a feature film?
In a feature film?
Yeah. Who was the only non-human to play the devil in a feature film?
Was it like an animated
devil question?
An animated figure?
It was a dog, right? Was there a dog?
It was a non-human. You have to be very specific.
Right. But am I on the right track with a dog? That's a non-human.
You're on the right track with a non-human, yeah.
It should be, by the way, it should be a cat, just for all our people who know them.
Who was the only non-human to play the devil in a feature film?
And it's a sentient thing. It's not like an ashtray.
It's a famous film?
No, yeah. It's an animate.
Yeah.
Is it a famous film?
No.
Oh.
It's not a famous film.
Because many times the devil takes...
The Catwoman film, but that's where it's kind of possessed. But that's where a panther is kind of possessed.
Yeah.
Well, lots of times the devil takes the form of a toad. And
no,
but
it's not. This is the whole thing.
Does it talk?
No. It doesn't talk.
Right. Okay. I'm going with Rin Tin Tin on that, then.
You're right.
Oh, man.
What?
Rin Tin Tin.
He gets around.
The Rin Tin Tin played the devil as a dog in a film called Tracked by the Police, 1927.
Oh, but not as Rin Tin Tin.
Played by Rin Tin Tin.
The real Rin Tin Tin. Yeah.
But he wasn't credited as Rin Tin Tin.
Rin Tin Tin was very multifaceted. He could play evil as well as good.
Yes, if you look in his eyes.
Wait a minute. He was credited as Rin Tin Tin in that
yeah.
movie?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
But said the devil played by Rin Tin Tin.
How weird.
Yeah. That was my Chile. That was my like that.
All right. So you answered that. Who are the only two people, and you have to get both of them, who are the only two people who have won 4 Pulitzer Prizes?
Ooh.
Four.
And you have to get both of them. Who are the only two people who have won 4 Pulitzer Prizes? Now, this is not a photographer or anything like this. So just
I think it's safe to not have us get both, by the way. I don't think it's going to jump out.
No, try for both.
Okay.
I mean, they're very, very well known.
Are they journalists or are they more literary?
They are one of those.
One of each, huh? Okay.
So who are the only two people who have won 4 Pulitzer Prizes?
Is David McCullough one of them, the historian?
He has won 2.
He's won 2, okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good question.
All right. So once more, who are the only two people who have won 4 Pulitzer Prizes each? All right. You answered that first question. I'll give you one more. What is the most frequently banned or challenged autobiographical book in the United States?
Famous title?
Yeah, pretty famous. Yeah.
The most challenged?
Yeah. What is the most frequently banned or challenged autobiographical book in the United States?
And is this library, schools, it doesn't matter, just kind of all together?
Yeah, probably.
Is it the autobiography of Malcolm X?
You're right. Yeah. You're right.
Excellent. Very
good. It's controversial in school, so every time teachers want to teach it, somebody gets upset.
So once more, who are the only two people, and you need to get them both, who have won the 4 Pulitzer Prizes? Oof. And let's go to a call.
They're writers.
I didn't say that. Hi, okay. You're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, this is Amanda from Hayward.
Hi, Amanda.
Hi. I have a guess about the most Mars-like environment.
Yes.
I think I saw this on a show, and it's a guess about remembering. Is it? I think it was Tibet, like really high in Tibet.
No, Dana got it. It's Chile.
Oh,
Chilean desert.
Gosh, well,
yeah.
But you would
I
not
saw
be
the mountains.
You would not be far off because it's the same sort of climate, I think, in the high. It's like a high desert,
high and
but
dry.
Very dry.
Yeah.
Right. Well. Okay. And then we are number 2 now in the obesity race to Mexico.
Right.
Very good.
Oh. Very good. Mexico has 32.8 people, 32.8% classified as obese.
In Mexico?
Yeah, Mexico. America's down to 31.8.
Ooh.
We're not trying hard enough. Go America.
Yeah. Now the Twinkies are coming back on the market.
Yeah, we'll be fine.
Pretty funny.
Yeah, very
okay,
good.
One more.
Yes.
L'Oreal, because I'm worth it.
That's correct.
Oh, very good.
Can you remember the year?
Oh, my gosh. I can only guess. Let's say like 84?
1967.
What?
Isn't that something? Yeah, that was the first time they did it. Very good.
Thank you.
Okay, one question, quick question for you guys.
Sure.
What do kangaroos and hummingbirds have in common? This is from the grab bag.
Oh.
It's got to be correct.
So this question must be about 10 years old, then.
Right, exactly.
But it's probably always been true.
L.M. Boyd.
Yeah.
Let's see. What are the hummingbirds here?
Let's see.
Is it the rate of their heartbeat or something like that?
No.
Anything to
Think
do
about
with
how they move or don't.
Move or don't.
Like how they sleep?
No.
How they move. Well, they hop. The kangaroos hop, but the hummingbird
That's
doesn't
true.
Hop. And the hummingbird hums. No, it flies.
Yeah. So what do they have in common?
I was going to say they only move up and down. That's all right. No, we don't know.
Neither of them can walk.
They only hop.
They hop or fly.
Oh, right. Really? Interesting. Hmm. Okay.
All right. Love your show, guys.
Oh, thank you.
That's fascinating. I didn't know that about hummingbirds.
Are they the only two animals that don't walk? There must be other birds that don't walk.
Yeah,
I don't
probably.
Know. Yeah.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is that me?
It is you.
Hey, hi, it's Denise in San Francisco.
Hi.
I just got trumped on the Mexico answer.
Okay.
I was kind of amused because you know where I learned that? From Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Oh.
Always a great source of
I didn't news. Steal it from there.
That's where I got it.
Okay.
Anyway, well, given that I got trumped on that, I wonder if you'd allow me to guess one of the four Pulitzer Prize winners.
Oh, all right.
Eugene O'Neill.
You're correct.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
Very good.
Very good.
That's good.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Is the other one literary like that?
So the other one is journalist,
I think.
No, you said literary.
Oh, literary. Oh.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there? Hello? Next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is David Price, welding in San Francisco.
Hello.
Hi, I would guess the question, a silly millimeter longer, is that Benson and Edges?
Good guess. Not correct.
Oh.
It's a long cigarette. It's a millimeter longer than that one.
And may I also guess, would it be Ernest Hemingway as the second Pulitzer Prize?
It would not.
Okay. I look forward to your 20th anniversary show.
Oh, well, I look forward to meeting you.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And, Jerry, it's your turn.
Okay, here's a baseball question. Only because Lori is here.
Well, and he taunted us in his introduction, too.
Baseball fans all know that Honus Wagner's card is the most valuable baseball card of all. I forget what it's worth, $1 million?
I think more now.
Okay. And because there were so few printed, But why were there so few printed?
I think it's this. The first baseball cards were put in tobacco packets, and he was a non-smoker. Might have been for religious reasons, and he wanted not to have anything to do being associated
with
tobacco
cards. That's close enough. He may have been a non-smoker, I don't know, but he didn't want to promote children smoking.
Okay.
Very good. Yeah. Very good.
So I think there's like 9 left in the universe.
Okay.
So, Dana, turn yours over.
I had a nice one, but I put a cup of hot chocolate on it, and there's a big ring.
He's
now.
Chewing tobacco.
Yeah. Okay, I wonder what the second most valuable is. You never hear about that.
No, they're
okay,
all tied.
Anyway,
for
I'll
second.
Ask another quickie here. I have to recuse Dana, of course. What do these film actresses have in common? Andy McDowell, Maureen O'Sullivan, Bo Derek, and the swimmer Eleanor Holm.
So Andy McDowell.
Maureen O'Sullivan, Bo Derek, and the swimmer Eleanor Holm.
Does it have something to do with a film role they played?
Yeah.
Did they all play the same character?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, I knew Maureen O'Sullivan played... No, she didn't play Jane in Tarzan. Bo Derek didn't do that many films. Well, let's leave it out there for a minute rather than have silence. I got to think
okay.
about it. Do you know, Dana?
Yes.
Yeah,
okay.
Of course you know.
Of course.
Of course I know. What kind of question is that? All right.
Was it a real person they played? Or
no.
A famous fictional, like the devil or something like that.
Yeah, but,
okay,
not,
but
yeah.
not the devil.
Not the devil.
They played Rin Tin Tin.
Trapped by the police, 1927. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello, am I on the air?
You are.
Oh, great. Okay, I'd like to answer the advertising slogan. The I believe L'Oreal used the phrase, because you're worth it.
They did, because I'm worth it. Yeah, very
or
good.
Because I'm worth it.
Yeah.
And then I'd actually like to make... Thank you. I'd like to make a slight correction to another caller that said the last time wood was used in a car made in the United States, I believe it was. The car he's referring to, the 1949 and onward Mercury and Ford vehicles, were actually structurally the first ones that were made of steel. The veneer was actually wood, but there was no structural steel. The last time they used serious amounts of, structural members in one of these woody station wagons ended with the 1948 Ford Mercury.
Well, I bow to your knowledge, but I got the impression when he asked the question that he was only talking about the outside paneling.
Oh, well, the last time it was used, there was wood accent, real wood accent used the last time by General Motors in 1953 on the Buick Roadmaster station wagon.
Okay, there we go.
You sound like you know
you know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you really do.
Yeah, it's kind of a hobby.
All right.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And Laurie, it's your turn.
All right. I asked a question from this series, but I like it, so it's a different question. The Writers Guild of America picked what they thought were the 100 best written TV shows, the best written TV shows. The top 10 turns out to have 5 comedies and 5 dramas. Give you 2 each. They're all really well known. So these are the 10 best written TV shows of all time.
You mean individual episodes or just generally?
No, the whole series.
Comedy and drama.
Yeah, well, it turned out that 5, they didn't vote by categories, but it turned out that 5 of them are comedies
oh,
and
I
5
see.
Of them are dramas.
The Sopranos.
That's number 1.
Yeah.
Very good.
Well.
And one of them, only one of them is still on the air. So you don't have to.
Well, this question
like
sound familiar. Not
well,
I asked
which ones,
of like
which of the top 20 were still on the air. This
oh,
is the,
that's
this is
all,
the
right, all right, all right, all right.
Yeah,
all right.
I checked.
Are most of them in the last 15 years?
No, most of them are older than that.
Tell me what you want. Once
I want the top 10 written shows of all time is picked by the Writers Guild of America.
Of all time.
Yeah. And it turns
Cheers
out,
has to be there.
Cheers is in there.
That's my favorite that's by far. Good.
Is The Honeymooners in there?
No, unfortunately.
MASH.
MASH is number 3 on the comedy list.
Is the Maritime or More show there?
Yes. Very
okay.
good.
All right.
So there's 4 more dramas because you got The Sopranos, and there's 2 more comedies because you knocked off MASH, Mary Tyler Moore, and Cheers, and both of them are higher than that on the rank
list. How about The Wire?
The Wire's on there. Very
yeah.
good.
Okay.
Okay. So leave the rest out there for the
okay.
for the troops.
Well, yeah,
there's 5
okay.
left.
Oh.
Jerry wants to say Beulah, but it's not.
December Bride
December Bride.
Just off the list.
Pete and Gladys, maybe.
I'm a big Spring Byington fan. Well,
you like Spring Byington?
Who isn't?
Well, everybody is.
All know, our listeners all love right. Spring Byington.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yes, this is Monty in San Francisco.
Hi, Monty.
Yeah, so on the Woodies, during World War II, they were all made with ash in the frames. That's why they really got their names, the Woodies.
Okay.
And the Pulitzer Prize, was Tennessee Williams one of those?
No, not.
Ooh. Okay,
good guess.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
That's a good guess. Yeah.
And you are listening to Minds Over Matter. We are here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. We certainly do enjoy bringing it to you. Our panel tonight is author Jerry Nachman from Diablo Valley College, English teacher Lori Fisher. Thank you very much for being here, Lori.
Sure.
I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That's KALW, your local public radio station. And feel free to give us a call if you have a question or answer at area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. Debbie, I have a question. We have an 800 number that we use sometimes, but we're not allowed to use that here?
Well, we have to set the phone up to do that.
Oh, okay.
Because we can do that, but that's the number that we usually use for our pledge drive.
All right.
So, we can set it up for you.
All right. I want our listeners in, Chad and Upper Volta. I want them to be able to call.
We'll have to talk to management and see if they can.
If they have good cell phone. Well, if they have good cell phone.
That'll
plans.
Be a no, yeah. Probably. So.
Now. Be positive.
All right.
He's positive. It's no.
All right. So I have another devil question here. I'm not a devil worshiper. It just happened to be on my mind. So I thought I would make a question out of this. What I'm going to do is give you six identities of the devil. In other words, these are all from movies or Broadway or something like that. So the devil, Mr. Henderson or something like that. So you get the general idea.
And we're to name the work this character is
But
in.
They're all the devil, but right. they're an alias.
Okay, so, well, yeah, anymore?
Can I just read them first before you start to answer?
Oh, I thought you were just generally.
No. So I'm going
to
give you six aliases.
I don't need the aliases.
Yeah,
okay. Okay.
Six aliases for the devil in films or Broadway or it's either going to be films or Broadway, okay? So number one, Mr. Scratch. Number two, George Spigot. Number three, John Milton.
Whoa.
Number four, Nick Beale. Number five, Mr. Applegate.
That's the one I was going to...
I know you were waiting for that. Number six, His Excellency. So, again, these are aliases used for the devil in films or Broadway. Number one, Mr. Scratch. Number two, George Spigot. Number three, John Milton. Number four, Nick Beale. Number five, Mr. Applegate. Number six, His Excellency. If you'd like to give me I'm looking for the film or the play. If you'd like to give me the actor who played him, that'd be fine, too. So, Jerry, what's your one?
One is all I get, I know, too.
For now.
Well, Mr. Applegate is in The Devil and Damn Yankees, played by Ray Walston.
That's correct. Yes.
And Mr. Scratch, I know it, but I'll let someone else go.
You let that go.
I think I know it.
Good for you.
You can have mine. I don't have any of these.
All right, thank you.
All right, go ahead.
Isn't Mr. Scratch in The Devil and Daniel Webster?
That's correct. Oh, yeah. Walter Houston.
Yeah. Your favorite actor.
Yeah, my favorite actor. Okay. So we're still looking for George Spigot, John Milton, Nick Beale, and His Excellency. So, and let's go to a call.
I actually saw Jerry Lewis play the Applegate character.
Did you?
On tour out here.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Ed. How are you?
Good.
Before I ask you one of the questions is, do you know why Malcolm X's book, and by the way, he was a very good man, why was it pretty much near banned? Do you know what is the reason for it?
I think there's been a variety of reasons.
But the main one?
Oh, I think the main one is because it advocates politics that many readers objected to in his conversion.
No. Well, doesn't he preach the overthrow of the government?
At one point, yeah. And he becomes a Muslim, too.
Yeah.
No.
What is it?
None of that.
Huh? What happened when he went to pilgrimage in Mecca, mm-hmm. and then he noticed that, you know, before he had this idea that only, you know, black people are the people of God and everybody else was bad, and called them devils. So when he went there, he found all people of all color and races, blonde, blue eyes, black, green, everything. And that was not accepted, mostly by the black Muslims, and that is why he was eventually deserted and even killed. That is the main point where his book is not encouraged, that the idea of race was washed away from his mind. So my question now is, okay, really very quickly, and just one chance, if you don't answer them, leave it to the audience. One, the owl, when you look at the sun, it takes 8 minutes for the light from the sun to come to our eyes. How many years does it take to go from the center of the sun to the surface of the sun on the average?
I was told you weren't supposed to look at the sun.
Well, even if you look at your desk and you see a beam of light from in your desk.
All right.
Yeah, how many years would it take from the center of the sun to the surface of the sun?
From the center of the sun to the surface.
Of the earth. Of the sun.
Okay. Oh, yes, center of the sun to the surface of the sun.
And you want to know how many years or minutes or seconds?
How many years it takes for that particular beam of light to be from the point of creation at the center of the sun to the surface?
Oh, the beam of light. I thought you meant walking.
No, just even a photo, just a single photo, just one photo.
Oh, God,
from the creation point to the surface of the sun. I'll give you the answer because really it is...
Yeah, you better. I don't think anyone's going to
get
close.
I'll give you the answer, yeah. 70,000 years on the average.
Well, that's not so 70, long.
70,000.
That's
okay,
a long
so
time.
Last question, the very quick, and I'll leave it to the audience.
Bring sunscreen.
This country eats more potato than any other country in the world, over 400 pounds a year.
Who eat potatoes?
Potatoes.
Well, Ireland.
I think...
No.
It's not Ireland.
Is it in South America?
No.
Okay.
It actually is obvious. You know, vodka kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it?
So it's Russia?
But it is not the current Russia. It is actually one of the satellite of the old Soviet Union. It's not Russia itself.
Potatoes. How about Poland?
No, it is actually part of the old Soviet Union. Poland was not. Poland. Was
oh, all right. The part of the old Soviet Union. Right.
Part of the old Soviet Union.
Ukraine.
No, take another guess. And
Kyrgyzstan.
No, it just starts with a B. Like boy.
Belarus.
Perfect, that's it.
400 pounds? Like 8 pounds?
More than 400 pounds of potato.
That's 8 pounds? Day. Oh, wow. So that's what, a pound
thank
a day?
You very much, guys. Always a great show.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
A lot of potatoes.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, this is Glenn, San Francisco.
Hello.
I must say that I'm probably the world's most pedantic non-smoker, right? However, the millimeter longer, right?
Yes.
It's 101.
It's
the cigarette brand was 101.
Yeah, and what brand is it? It is 101. Do you remember who made it?
Wait a minute. A silver millimeter longer, 101.
That's what they called it, the 101s. And who made it?
Is that the one with the micronite filter?
No.
Remember that cigarette, whatever that was?
It can't have the micronite filter.
So do you remember who made the 101s? We'll give you half credit.
How do you give me half a bell?
That was it.
Oh, wow, geez. Give me a hint.
Very famous. They used to make a very short cigarette, I believe. I think so. I didn't smoke.
Lucky Strike?
Much.
I've never smoked.
Yeah. No.
Cools?
No.
No.
And I don't think it's made now. I'm not sure. I never see the people who smoke them.
What, wasn't it marketed toward women?
Virginia Slims was.
That was Virginia Slims.
But this one I don't think was.
Okay.
Still a millimeter longer, 101.
It's a good singing. I saw it on YouTube today, and you have the tune perfectly.
And did it come in a green pack?
No.
No.
Okay. It's Lucky Strike Green.
Or Benson and Hedges came in.
Oh, Benson and Hedges. That was the one I was thinking.
Okay, well,
you're close.
What is it?
Should I give it?
You
asked. Yeah. Okay, no, don't give it.
All right, well, you'll hear the answer soon.
Not from me, though.
No.
That's true.
All right.
Not from you.
All right. Well, I got half a bell.
All right. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye. Note, if some of our listeners do not have email access, you might have them send a postcard to 500 Mansell Street.
What's a postcard?
Postcard, yeah. for our 20th anniversary get-together. So if you don't have email access, and I know everybody doesn't, so if you'd like, just send a postcard, or you can call the station. Deb, what's the number they should call?
841-4121. That's our main general office number.
All right. And you can just have them take a message that you're interested in, that kind of thing.
Yeah, Bill Helgeson will take the general
general
questions.
Messages,
and I'll talk to him tomorrow. So he'll send be a 20th anniversary. Tons of phone calls.
Well, I don't know about that.
Well, what's the zip code?
841-4121. 94134.
Send those postcards in. That would be fun.
Or send
I'd rather hear the
postcards. Postcards are cool.
Or send a postcard to, it's 500-500 Mansell Street, M-A-N-S-E-L-L. That's K-A-L-W. 500 Mansell Street, San Francisco, California. What's the zip code?
94134.
There you go.
Or send a happy anniversary card.
Oh, that'd be
20th
nice.
Anniversary
yeah.
card.
That'd be nice.
Send money.
Yeah, you do that too. And, we are past halfway through the show, so let's repeat any questions that have not been answered yet. Jerry,
what do these film actresses have in common? Andy McDowell, Maureen O'Sullivan, Bo Derek, and the swimmer Eleanor Holm.
That it?
Did they all played the same role.
Did they all play the perfect woman?
No.
Okay. So they weren't, weren't all tens. That's an actor.
Well,
I think of Bo
Derek's
film career.
Yeah.
And Lori.
I have two taglines from ads, a silly millimeter longer, which is something 101 cigarettes. We're looking for the maker. And people have avoided my wife. I think I'll keep her. And then we're looking for, of the Writers Guild of America, the 100 best written TV shows. We're looking for the top 10. And we got The Sopranos and The Wire. So there's three more dramas. And there's two more comedies because we've eliminated MASH, Mary Tyler Moore, and Cheers. All well known.
Okay. Let's see. I gave you a list of aliases for the devil in films. Just to give you an example, Jerry answered this. Mr. Scratch was the devil in Daniel Webster. That's Walter Houston. So the ones we have left are George Spigot, John Milton, Nick Beale, and His Excellency. So what films would you find those devil aliases in? And only two people have won the Pulitzer Prize. And to our listener out there who always sends me emails that we say Pulitzer, it is Pulitzer, and I pronounced it correctly. Only two people have won the Pulitzer Prize four times each. So one we have, one of our listeners got Eugene O'Neill. Who is the other person?
Did Al Pacino play Nick Beale in The Devil's Advocate?
No.
Okay.
I don't know.
Another Pulitzer Prize.
All right. Is it, on that?
Is it
all
a playwright?
Right.
Will you tell us that yet?
It is not a playwright.
Okay.
Okay. And I think it is your turn, Lauren. Or maybe you just did one. Did you just
I didn't.
All
I
right,
did
go
mine.
Ahead, then.
Okay. So here are... I'm going to give you subtitles for four really well-known books. So it's either the actual subtitle or they have the word or.
Are these novels?
These are all... There's one play and three novels.
All right.
So here's the subtitle. The Modern Prometheus is number one. Number two is Or What You Will.
Hold on a minute.
Okay. The Modern Prometheus, What You Will.
Yeah.
The third one is The Children's Crusade, and this is a 20th century novel, so it's not anything older than that. And the last is A Pure Woman. So The Modern Prometheus, What You Will, Children's Crusade, and A Pure Woman. Three are novels, one's a play.
Well, Modern Prometheus is Frankenstein.
It is. Very good.
A Pure Woman. Is that Fanny Hill?
It's not.
What You Will.
But a really, really ironic guess. It's
What You Will is Much Ado About Nothing.
It's not.
Oh, it isn't?
No.
A Pure Woman. Is that the play?
No.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
A Pure...
As You Like It?
No, but okay. But Jerry's in the right department. What You Will is
Shakespeare.
The play.
Yes.
It's a Shakespeare play.
Is A Pure Woman, is that, is the subject of the book, in other words, is the book named after the title character?
Yes.
Okay. I know I read this too. All right.
I think you've read all of them, both of you. That'd be my guess. Or in the case of the play, you've seen it.
That sounds awfully familiar to me.
Not to me at all.
All right.
It's a classic.
I'm not surprised.
Okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Big Radul from the Carnero.
Hi, Big Radul.
That Nick Beal, is that from Heaven Can Wait?
It is not from Heaven Can Wait.
Okay. John Ford directed John Wayne in, and then you fill in the blanks.
Oh, all of them?
Well, oh, about 20 movies.
How many do you have?
14.
You mean 14? The ones? Well, isn't like Hangman House and Salute and all those ones?
These are the ones you're talking about. I don't think like Four Sons. John Wayne wasn't credited, and some of them.
All right.
John Ford wasn't credited.
So let's just go with Stagecoach and Long Voyage Home and
The Searchers.
The Searchers, and She Wore Yellow Ribbon, and Rio Grande, and Fort
Rio
Apache.
Bravo? Rio Bravo?
Not Rio Bravo. And The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance.
The Quiet Man.
And yeah. The Quiet Man.
Isn't there a military one where he's a Marine?
No, that's The Sands of Iwo Jima. That's
not John Ford.
They were expendable. I forgot. I'm not keeping track of how many I said, though, so I don't know. You have to kind of do that.
But Jerry and I each said one, so.
Oh, The Horse Soldiers.
That's number 10.
I'm trying to think if I'm missing anything in the 40s.
Is there a military
the,
one?
What did you have in mind?
The two when he's dying.
Well, you said The Searchers already.
Yeah.
The two when he's dying, his last movie. The Shootist.
You got one from the 40s, two from the 50s, and two from the 60s to get them all.
Two from the 60s.
The one where he...
How the West Was Won.
Okay.
Donovan's Reef.
Okay.
Two from the...
What was the Rooster Cogburn?
True Grit?
That was True Grit.
True Grit.
He didn't direct that. John Ford didn't direct that.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
One from the 50s, one from the 40s.
From the 50s, I'm sure I'm missing.
Did you say She Wore a Yellow Ribbon?
He did.
I did.
Okay.
In the Rio Grande, too.
Is there a military one where he's a soldier?
Yes. Well, it's a military one.
What am I missing here? Just fill in the blanks for us.
Okay, well, The Wings of Eagles.
Wings of Eagles,
1957.
Okay. Right.
And then I'd ask you a question a couple months ago about a character's name. Maybe if I give you the name, you'll get the movie.
Well, you can try.
John Wayne played Robert Marmaduke Hightower. It's Three Godfathers.
Oh.
So, anyway.
Three Godfathers.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, well, yeah, thank you. And I was going to ask you about that, your anniversary thing, but you gave me the info. So
all right.
I hope to be there.
Okay, well, thank you.
Okay, bye now.
Bye-bye. And, okay, it's my turn, I think, actually. All right. This famous novel by an American writer has been, obviously, a novel. It has been a Broadway play. There have been 5 movie adaptions. There's been an opera. And most recently, a Broadway musical. So, this famous novel by an American writer, and there have been many adaptions of it, started out as a novel. Was turned into a Broadway play. There have been 5 different movie adaptions, though 2 of them have been in other foreign languages. There's been an opera and a Broadway musical. So I want the name of the novel.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, can you give us approximately when the novel was published?
It was written before 1950, but it was written in the 20th century.
Oh, wow.
So, and did you say a recent musical?
The Broadway musical was the most recent.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. The opera should be the biggest clue, because that really stands. Not many novels are turned into operas.
Yeah.
This very famous American novel has obviously been a novel. It became a Broadway play. There have been 5 different movie adaptions, 2 of them in foreign languages. There have been an opera and a Broadway musical.
Is it possible to say which of these forms it's the most famous in?
Well, the novel.
So it was a big novel.
It was a big novel. it was a famous novel. It was a successful novel.
That's a great question.
Yeah. And let's go to a call.
Grapes of Wrath?
No. Although there has been an opera from that, you're right.
Yeah.
That's a good guess.
Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
But only one movie, I think.
I'm sorry, are you there, caller?
Is this me?
It is you.
Ah, yes. Let's see, the cigarette was Pall Mall 101.
It was not.
No?
Great guess.
Ah.
An old-fashioned cigarette. It's in that era.
Ah, okay. Let's see, the Children's
Pall Mall,
Crusade.
Actually.
Can I get some more?
Yeah. Go.
Children's Crusade was Slaughterhouse-Five.
It was.
Very good.
Bell. Very good.
Frankenstein was the modern Prometheus.
Dana got it, but that's good.
Okay, and I have one for you.
Okay.
Yes.
What was the name of the last Gemini program astronaut who made it into space?
Wow.
It's a tricky one. It's not who you think it is.
I don't think it is.
That's
not who I think it is or yeah. We think it is.
Last one you might think it was Gordon Cooper, but it's not him.
Okay.
I didn't think it was him, so you're safe there.
It's not good. Who we
So
think
somebody
it
went
is.
Up after him, huh?
No, he was in the original program, yeah. But he got pulled out because he had a heart murmur.
Gus Grissom. Yes.
No, he died.
He got cleared many, many years later.
Right. But
want me to give it to you?
Yeah.
Deke Slayton.
Oh,
okay.
I remember his name.
Okay.
Very good.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. We do enjoy bringing it to you. The number here is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is this me?
It is you.
Hi, it's Sue from Berkeley.
Hi, Sue.
Hey, Sue from Berkeley.
Hey. So I have an answer to gratify Laurie. I think that one of the four-time Pulitzer winners might be Robert Frost.
It is Robert Frost.
Oh, my.
Right.
That's incredible.
Yes. Who would have thought? Okay, and 12th
Night. Is this like an insider trading or anything?
Kind of, yeah. Sorry, what?
12th Night, or what you will.
That's correct.
Very good.
Give her a bell. And what about A Pure Woman? Would you know that one?
No, I have no idea. I think is the question about the product, my wife, I think I'll keep her, is Geritol.
It is Geritol. Very okay. good. Do you know right. the year?
No.
Okay, 1971, before your time.
All right. It's fun listening to you guys.
Thank you, Sue.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And Jerry, you have something quick?
Let's see. Yeah. What state has the largest Amish population in the United States?
So,
well, the
Pennsylvania
obvious
is the obvious answer, and that's not it.
It's not right.
Okay.
How about Ohio?
Ohio is it.
Yeah.
All right. That's good. Because that's right next
door.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
When
okay,
they left Pennsylvania,
oh, yeah,
they didn't get
quirky.
Far.
Yeah.
What was the first official symbol of the U.S. Postal Service?
Oh. First official.
What's its symbol now?
I don't know.
It's an eagle.
Is it?
I think it's an eagle. And a,
so this was pre-eagle, huh? So this was, oh.
Should be Cliff from Cheers.
So this would have something to do with it. Did Franklin pick this out?
I don't know who picked it
can,
out.
Can you tell us how old it is, Jerry?
Yeah, I can. It was a symbol from 1782 to 1837.
Is it an animal?
No.
Okay. Because didn't Franklin favor the turkey as the national
oh, yeah,
bird?
Well.
Be a very bad postal symbol.
What were the years once more? 1832?
Yeah, it is an eagle now, which and replaced the pony, which came after this one, this symbol.
Oh. Okay, so
but it's not
it's
an
1782,
animal.
And it's not an animal.
No.
All right. Okay.
How about the Liberty Bell?
No.
Okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there?
Matt in Berkeley.
There you go.
Am
you're
on?
Yeah, you're on. Go ahead.
Okay, great. I have an answer to the question about the devil question.
Yes, good.
Actually, one of your panelists, I think it was Jerry, was really close guessing Al Pacino and the Devil's Advocate. He got the wrong character.
Oh.
The character was John Milton.
John Milton. That's
was
that
the Al Pacino.
Is Al Pacino
oh.
and the Devil's Advocate.
Okay, I'll split
good.
It with you.
And I have a related question.
Yes.
In the early 1980s, Bill Cosby played the devil in a movie that was not, I think, on your list. Can you name the movie and the character?
Oh, I see him picture with a big cigar. Didn't he smoke a cigar in it?
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
He always smoked a cigar.
Yeah.
I've definitely heard of the movie. Let me think now. It's not that something part six, is it? Leonard part six. Okay, let's see. What else? He did play the devil. Didn't he play two roles, or was it just the devil?
I think it was just the devil.
Okay.
I don't know. I can picture it, but I don't
know. I can sort of picture it, too.
I can't.
No, I'm sorry. I'm afraid we don't know.
No, okay. It was a Walt Disney film. I don't think it did very well at the box office. It was called The Devil and Max Devlin. Oh.
All right, yes. Didn't Neil Simon write that? No.
No, he wrote the... baseball movie.
It's sort of, okay.
Was Elliot Gould in it?
What was the name of that again?
Yeah, very good, very good. Yeah, Elliot Gould.
What was the name of the film again?
The Devil and Max Devlin.
Barry Satan.
Say that last part again?
His character was Barry Satan.
Oh, Barry Satan.
Very clever.
No, Neil Simon wrote a baseball movie called something in Max Dugan, I think.
Oh, you're right, you're right.
Yeah.
Max Dugan Returns.
Max Dugan
Returns, that's what it was called. All right, I'm sorry we didn't do better with your question.
Not at all. Well, thank you so much and happy anniversary.
All right, thanks a lot. Bye-bye. And Lori, if you have something very short and quick.
For what song did Cole Porter say he was inspired by the Muslim call to worship that he heard when he was visiting Mecca? He's very specific.
What song?
For what song, what Cole Porter song did he say he was inspired by the Muslim call to worship when he was visiting
was
Mecca?
Was it Begin the Begin?
No.
Was it the one that goes... with the trip, 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 and the tick, tock, tick.
And the Night and Day.
Night and day.
That's correct.
Night and Day.
Very good.
Yeah.
And good singing. Almost.
Yeah, I forget. How does it start? Something like that.
With the beat, beat, beat of the tom, tom, when the jungle shadows fall.
Yeah. Night and Day, you are the one.
Right.
Very good.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is this me?
It is you.
Hi, this is Paul in Albany. And is the cigarette that's with the... 100 millimeters shorter or longer? Longer.
It's longer.
Is that Terryton?
Not Terryton.
We're going to have to ask more cigarette questions.
Yeah.
It's getting an awful lot of play.
Terryton was I'd rather fight than switch.
Somebody
it,
though. You should tell.
And I have a question for you regarding cigarettes. What is the cigarette with the recessed filter?
Oh.
And I know this because my grandmother used to smoke them.
I so remember.
She did not inhale.
The recess
blank with the
vice,
recess.
Oh,
Viceroy.
Was it Viceroy?
That's a good guess.
You're right.
Or Parliament.
It was Parliament.
Very good. Very good.
And I have a trivia question regarding George Gershwin that I just learned at the San Francisco Symphony. What famous dancer in that era was he very close with?
Dancer?
Yes.
You mean
like
well-known stage dancer.
Female dancer.
No, male dancer. Or
Fred Astaire?
Well, Fred Astaire, of course.
Yes,
he wrote for Fred Astaire movies.
Well,
right?
He wrote, he loved Astaire's singing.
Right.
Yeah,
they were very close friends. Yeah. Yes.
Supposedly, he wrote You Can't Take That Away From Me with Fred Astaire in mind.
Oh,
right. I'm sure.
He wrote a lot of the songs with Fred Astaire in mind. Yeah.
Okay, well, thanks, guys.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it.
Bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, James in Berkeley.
Hi.
On the question of the actresses, we came in from the car. Have you gotten an answer on that one?
No.
Well, would that be Lord Greystoke's wife, Jane?
That's correct. Yeah. They all play Jane, plus two others, which I have, but I didn't know people would know them, Brenda Joyce and Enid Markey, who was the first.
That was Elma Lincoln's Jane.
She was a silent screen actress.
Andy
very good.
Andy McDowell played her, huh?
Yeah.
May I leave a question with you?
Yes, you may.
Okay. In... what was produced in a factory that had separate entrances for Catholic workers and Protestant workers?
What was produced in a factory that had separate entrances for Catholic workers and Protestant workers? May we ask where the factory was?
Well, no.
Well, that would give too much away?
I can tell you.
Well, for instance, I was thinking like Northern Ireland or something.
Well, that would be right.
Oh.
How about communion wafers?
No.
Okay.
What was produced?
So this was a product that was made in the factory
That's correct.
They made it together but had to go in separate entrances, huh?
That's right.
To get to work.
Is it, excuse me for my coarseness, but anything to do with like a condom or something like that?
I was going to say that, a condom factory.
No.
Okay.
Wow. A condiment factory.
So what would be...
Is it a religious thing?
It is not.
Okay.
It's not. Yeah, but the product itself would have some... They would worry about it to the extent that they would separate the Catholics and the Protestants? Or was it because it was just in Northern Ireland?
I don't know. That I don't know. All I know is what the product was.
And what century are we talking about?
Probably
the
not that
last one, 20th.
Yeah.
The last,
that was the last
the
one.
Real, the good old days.
Yeah.
I grew up in those days.
Wow.
We don't know.
Okay. Can I leave it with the board?
Well, we've only got 4 minutes left, so you better tell us on the air.
Ah, okay. The DeLorean sports car.
Really? Oh, okay.
Why was that?
Interesting.
Why?
No. It was just a little squib in the Chronicle.
The grab bag.
That has to be
I
recent.
Think it just had to, thank you very much.
Yeah.
I think it just had to do with it being produced in Northern Ireland and in the time of the Troubles
keeping
the Protestants and the Catholics separate.
So there might have been other plates.
I don't think it had anything to do with the DeLorean itself. Uh-huh. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
Yeah, two comedy best written, Dick Van Dyke and All in the Family.
All in the Family's one of them. Dick Van Dyke did not make the list, though.
How about Bilko?
Bilko should be on the list, but isn't.
Yes, it should be. I agree with you.
Okay, well, that's my only guess. Those are my guesses.
We're looking for the top written comedy, according to the writers.
Are there any variety shows? Are they all sitcoms?
One of the dramas didn't have a regular cast. Each week they started from scratch, more like a Playhouse 90 kind of thing.
Oh, all right. Yeah. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is this me?
It is you.
Hi, this is Mary Ellen in Russian Hill.
Hello.
Hi, I think I have, two guesses.
Okay.
The best drama, one of the best dramas, Hill Street Blues?
No, not. Good guess.
Okay.
It's on my list.
Okay, and a wild guess on the postal emblem. The image of a man with a three-corner hat?
No.
Okay.
I don't think it has a heat. Okay. I don't think, no.
Thank you very much, though.
No, not a three-cornered hat.
Appreciate it.
No,
okay.
not a three-cornered
baseball
hat.
Time to clean up here. What do we got? Jerry?
Well, the first official symbol of the U.S. Postal Service was Mercury.
Oh.
Oh, all right.
Makes sense.
It has wings on his hat, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the Postal Service has never been that quick since. Is that it?
Yeah.
Is that it? Okay, Lord.
Okay. I have A Pure Woman was the subtitle of Tess of the Doobiebills, believe it or not. The dramas in the top 10 were West Wing, Mad Men, and Twilight Zone. Oh, and the top written comedy of all time, according to this Writers Guild, was Seinfeld, believe it or not.
Oh.
And then the last one, the cigarette one that was so vexing, a silly millimeter longer, was Chesterfield 101s.
Oh.
Good old Chesterfield.
Chesterfield. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. My dad's brand.
Yeah. I can remember the package.
When W.C. Fields had a show, radio show, where Lucky Strike used to talk about his son Chester all the time. Until the sponsor caught on. let's see. The names for the devil, the aliases for the devil. The ones we don't, George Spigot is Bedazzled.
Oh, yeah.
Nick Beale is alias Nick Beale, which was played by Ray Milland. And His Excellency is Laird Krieger in Heaven Can Wait. So,
I was thinking here.
Which is a great movie, by the way.
Mr. Jordan.
If you haven't seen Heaven Can Wait, the 1943 version, it's a lot of fun. What famous novel by an American writer has been a novel, Broadway play with 5 movie adaptions, an opera, and a Broadway musical? It was written in 1925? No? No? An American Tragedy.
Oh.
An American Tragedy by Dreiser.
And do we get the other? Oh, yeah, we got the Pulitzer Prize.
Pulitzer Prize.
That was a musical?
It was a musical by Charles Strauss. And if we did not get your call, we do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Our thanks to Jerry Nachman, Lori Fisher from Diablo Valley College. Thank you very much, Lori. My name is Dana Rodriguez. And, of course, Debbie Kennedy and Steve Wilcott for handing the board and phones. And above all, our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call in. Have a great week, everybody. Please join us next Sunday. Bye-bye.
If it ain't this... You can't miss, it's got to be your brother. Can't you see, it's got to be one way.